Many Afghan women feared this day would come. Today, the Taliban announced that women have to veil in public, that is, wear loose clothing and cover their faces, except for their eyes. They gave them two choices, wear a burqa or a long loose robe and face covering. On the line with us to tell us more is NPR's Dia Hadid. She covers Afghanistan from her base in neighboring Pakistan, and she's with us now.
Hi, Michelle.
So tell us how this happened.
Right. Well, there was an announcement made at a press conference today held by a ministry that's particularly hardline. It has a long name. Bear with me. It's the Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. This is the ministry that ensures public adherence to the Taliban's interpretation of Islamic law.
And what are the new rules?
Well, women have been told that they have to stay home. If they have to leave home for any reason, they must wear a burqa. That's that all-encompassing robe with the netted face covering. Or they can wear a long robe, a headscarf, and a face veil. Crucially, it's her male guardian. It's an Afghan woman's male guardian who will be punished if she defies those rules.
You know, I'm remembering that many people thought the Taliban would do this on day one, but they didn't. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, because in fact, the Taliban had treaded relatively lightly around the issue of women's dress for months. And the reasoning was is that they didn't want to turn Afghans against them by suddenly imposing all these harsh rules. But, you know, also to be clear, Afghan women overwhelmingly dress conservatively. And so it's really in the urban areas like Kabul, where more liberal-minded women and girls wear pants, long shirts and headscarves. They're the ones that will notice the difference.
So why now?
It's a big question, and it could be that there's pressure from the Taliban base. You know, these fighters may want to see these rules implemented. After all, like, why were they fighting for two decades against a Western-backed government, which, you know, they saw as un-Islamic? It could be that hardliners within the Taliban leadership are flexing their muscle. They've come under a lot of pressure lately from relative moderates within the movement because it was the hardliners who were behind the ban on girls attending secondary school, and a reminder that that ban is still in force for most Afghan girls.
I find myself asking just how is this actually going to work in real life? So are women doctors, women who are performing vital functions in society, as few as they may be now, are they all now supposed to stay home?
Well, women who work can presumably still work if they haven't been fired from their job by the Taliban, you know, until now. They're likely to still be able to go out and work, but they'll have to cover up. What this effectively does, though, is it really restricts most Afghan women's movements. Because when the Taliban say a woman should stay home, it's really up to a local commander how he's going to interpret that. A woman's movements might be more micro-policed. She might be harassed more if she tries to leave the house. Also, it strips women of their legal right to be an adult. When the Taliban say it's a male guardian who will be punished for this, what they're doing is reducing a woman to the status of a minor in the eyes of their laws, because she's not punished for this. It's her male guardian who might be punished by being jailed or even losing his job.
I understand that this just happened, but how has the international community responded so far?
Well, the European Union representative for Afghanistan has already condemned this. The UN just issued a statement saying that this directive was in contradiction to the numerous assurances they were given by the Taliban. What this really does, though, is it complicates even further relations between the Taliban and the international community. They've been seeking legitimacy. They've been seeking trade. They want open borders with other countries. It's really hard to see how that's going to move forward.
That was NPR's Dia Hadid. Dia, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Michelle.